Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church, and welcome to worship online with First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I'm Pastor Lindsay, one of the clergy that serve this congregation. It's great to be worshiping with you this morning. We're a congregation that seeks to know God and love God and serve God. So as we gather for worship this day, one way we can serve God is by helping to spread this message of worship. So I'd encourage you this morning to share this video. Perhaps you could think of a neighbor or a friend, a coworker, a colleague. Maybe you can think of somebody that would love to worship but that doesn't yet have a spiritual home. Won't you share this video, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube? There's a button below that you can push to make this video available to other folks. Also, as we gather in this time of worship, I would encourage you to go onto our church website and fill out our connection card. If you visit our website, which is www.brightonfumc.org, and as you click on worship, you're going to find the connection card there. As you fill it out, it's a great opportunity to get better connected to the life of the church. So whether you want to sign up for a small group for Lent or learn more about our children and student ministries or get involved in some missions, we'd encourage you to fill it out and let us know that you're there. It's a great way also to update any of your contact information. Later in worship today, it's going to be a great joy to welcome to the pulpit as we're going to be inviting Reverend Lou Ann Rourke to be preaching with us this morning. Reverend Rourke is our district superintendent for the Heritage District here of our United Methodist Church, and you won't want to miss her message. She's going to be bringing a great sermon this morning and something you will not want to miss. Look forward to hearing Reverend Rourke's message this morning. And as we come in this time of worship, I'd also invite you to perhaps find a candle in your home. Take a moment to light it, to center yourself and to be reminded that Christ's light shines within us and throughout the world and that we're invited to be a part of that light. It's a way to center yourself as we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us. So now as we turn our hearts to times of praise, let's lift up joyfully as we know that God is with us and God is good.
Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God of all, help us to be gracious in all things, recognizing your presence in and around us. Help us to share your word, your joy, your love, your peace, and your hope with others. Help us to make the world a better place in your name. Amen.
Good morning. I am Reverend Lou Ann Rourke, currently deployed in the service of the Lord as the superintendent of the Heritage District in the United Methodist Church in Michigan. I'm so happy to be able to be with you this morning, even though it's virtually by means of this recorded message. I'm grateful to Pastors Lindsay and John for inviting me to share something with you this morning. And I also want to express my gratitude to all of you. I know this has been a hard year, and you have received new pastors in the midst of this pandemic. It's been difficult to get to know one another. So I'm so grateful for the good work that you continue to do, the grace you offer, and the way that you continue to keep your eyes focused on our purpose as the church and on the good things that God is doing in us and through us, even in such a time as this. Back before Christmas, all the superintendents were asked to think about and share a bit about the impact we've seen on our districts due to COVID-19. My reflections included the awareness that this pandemic has really just revealed what we're made of. And for the most part, I've found it's pretty good stuff. In the Heritage District, I've heard story after story about how the pastor and the people just figured it out. There was no roadmap. It was all uncharted water. It was a road not traveled. It was, we've never done it this way before. day after day. Well, we figured out new ways to worship, new ways to pray, to study, to gather together, to stay connected with one another and with our communities. It's been a long haul, and we've struggled with giving up treasured traditional activities and celebrations, and yet we've worked together to make courageous choices week by week to keep a positive attitude, even as we ourselves are worn and weary and tired and just waiting for all of this to be over. We've struggled to know what we can and cannot do, what we ought and ought not do. And we've had to accept that there have been some decisions that needed to be made without everybody having a voice in the decision or the choice. Certainly there have been frustrations and failures, and I'm certain some finger-pointing and fault-finding along the way. But at the end of the day, we've learned that grace is indeed sufficient. And we figured out how to share resources, how to ask for the help that we need. And you all have been so generous. In the beginning, everyone was certain the churches would just be closing left and right because people would stop giving to support the mission and the ministry of the church. Well, that has just not happened. Thanks be to God. Isaiah 30, 20 and 21 says, "Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' When you turn to the right or the left, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" In the Heritage District, I've seen God, our teacher, teaching us how not just to survive, but to thrive, to invest in the here and now as we sow seeds to an uncertain future, but a future with hope. As Jeremiah wrote, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for a future with hope." Hope grows in the small things we do every day that make a big difference. If you take time to think about it, I'm sure you can recall at some point in your life, someone said something to you that stuck with you. Usually it's harder to pull out those positive comments than it is the negative ones. But I can remember in elementary school, our teacher gave us a writing assignment. She gave us a picture and she said, "Write whatever you want to write as you look at this picture." And I did that. And when I got it back, she had commented on there, "You have a gift for words. Well done." That comment stuck with me. The fact that I still remember it testifies to the truth that it made a positive, lasting impact. Small things, big difference. One practical example right now in our lives is the advice we've been given repeatedly over the past several months regarding COVID-19. Wear a mask, wash your hands, stay in a safe distance from others when you're in crowded places. Small things, easy to do, and yet when we practice them, it makes a big difference. It can even save lives. In the realm of our faith, we all want to find strength in the Lord. We want to abide in the light. We want to be able to push back the darkness of these days. And some days that feels like a really big task. Some days I'd just soon curl up in the corner and wait for all of this to be over. All the tension and the anxiety, all the uncertainty, all the negativity. Can it just go away? But then I remember, I can be a part of that solution, doing one small thing. I can make a big difference, not only for me, but also for the world around me. Acts of love and kindness, choosing to extend grace, practicing self-control, sometimes more difficult than others, but small things that can make a big difference. In the first few verses of Psalm 9, verses 1 to 3. This reflects on this cause-effect relationship that I'm talking about here. David, the psalm writer, is apparently facing some big challenges, some significant difficulty with his enemies. And he chooses four simple acts that make a big difference. He says in verse 1 and 2, I will give thanks to the Lord. I will tell of your wonders. I will be glad and I will sing praise. And then in verse 3, it says, my enemies turn back. They stumble and perish. No talk of weapons used against the enemies. No talk of harsh words or any kind of direct interaction at all. David stays focused on the Lord and the assurances that he recounts in verses 9 and 10. The Lord is a refuge and a stronghold in troubled times. Those who know the Lord trust the Lord. So let's look at these four small things and consider how they might make a big difference for us today. Number one, give thanks to the Lord. It's so important to cultivate gratitude in these days, especially when it's so much easier to find things to complain about. Gratitude balanced with benevolence, these are the keynotes of John Wesley's concept of what constitutes true faith. Gratitude and benevolence. A grateful heart overflows, he argued. It compels us to do good to all. And it sets the stage for us to embrace justice, mercy, and truth. Such a small thing to cultivate a grateful heart by recalling and reciting and reconnecting with the good things in our lives on a daily basis. St. Ignatius, in his prayer of examine, always encourage us to give thanks for blessings, great and small. These are not easy times. Difficulties, like David's enemies, come our way every day. Sometimes so that we feel the darkness trying to step in and press against us, to drag us down, and to keep us there. But gratitude is a natural antidepressant. When we lift our eyes to the Lord, our spirits tend to follow. So give thanks. Number two, David's second strategy was to tell of God's deeds, to talk about the good things. Don't you love a good testimony? Don't you love to hear an inspiring story? A story of triumph in the face of overwhelming odds. Stories that remind us there's still good in the world. That God is still working for good in the world. So share with someone what God's doing in your life. Let your ears hear your own voice speaking words that testify to God's goodness. Talk specifically about how God is at work in your life, in you and through you, even in such a time as this, especially in such a time as this. In the midst of COVID-19 and racial injustice and overwhelmed systems and broken institutions, strained personal relationships, is God still working for good? We have to make difficult decisions. We have to endure restrictions. Is there still evidence that God is good all the time? That all the time God is good? When we tell of the wonderful deeds of God, when we do small things that bring good and light into the world around us. They have a spiritual impact. When we give thanks, when we tell of God's goodness, we bring light into the world, which is what the world sorely needs right now. When we offer a word of encouragement, when we demonstrate patience, when we allow grace to reign in the face of an offense against us, that's the beginning of a testimony. Of a small thing that can make a big difference. Do me a favor, right now, wherever you are, stop what you're doing and focus on the Lord and His presence with you. and ask the Lord to bring to your mind a person who you know who could use an encouraging word today. Who needs to hear a testimony that God is good, that God is still working for good in the world? When that person comes to mind, give them a good word. Do it today. Don't put it off. Tell them something good. Share something good that God is doing. Tell them you're grateful for who they are. Outline some specific thing about what's good about them being in the world today. Give encouragement. It's a small thing, but it makes a big difference. Give thanks. Tell of God's deeds. And third, be glad. Isn't it true that difficulties and trials and hard things draw our attention more so than praise and celebration? It has been said that negative thoughts are like Velcro, while positivity is more like Teflon. Negativity is so much more sticky. Positivity often just slides off our plate. There's something about negativity that wants to dominate our lives. It grabs us, and it begins to shadow our existence. Isn't it the truth that we have to work harder to recall positive things? Encouraging words, more so than criticism. Negativity. This is the tension we live in. On one hand, there's difficulty, but on the other, there's joy. We dare not let the difficulty consume us. Romans 5, 1-5 in the Passion Translation reminds us, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. That means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous knowledge that has given us perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope and experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us always back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. God pours into us like a waterfall. Picture Niagara Falls, God's love pouring into your heart, into your life, and rising, that mist that rises at the bottom, rising up to refresh everyone around you. Friends, be glad. Most days lately, I need a lot of help with that one. I have to ask the Spirit, help me touch that which is positive, that which is hopeful, those things that are eternal. Make me glad. Last, sing the praises of God's name. David the psalmist was a mighty warrior with a heart for the Lord, and he seems to have always had a song on his lips. In fact, David said, that's how he fought his battles, with a sword in one hand and a song of praise on his lips. And scripture says God defeats his enemies with the sound of the timbrel and the tambourine. 2 Chronicles 5:13 says it was the duty of the trumpeters and the singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. And when the song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, saying, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. When that happened, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. God inhabits the praise of his people. When we praise God, his presence is undeniable. I know it's been a hard thing to step back from singing in our worship gatherings, where we're able to praise God together, to enjoy the ministry of the choir and the band as they lead us in worship. But you can still sing. You can sing. You can sing wherever you are. Sing in the car, sing in the shower, in the comfort of your easy chair, at the bedside table, the bedside of a child, in the park, on your couch, on your porch, wherever you are. You can sing and play or shake your tambourine. You can make music to the Lord. Think of a tune that lifts up the name of Jesus. Just something simple. Maybe a camp song from summers past. A favorite hymn. In the words of Karen and Richard Carpenter, don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing. Sing a song. The world is weary, friends, and our enemies press in on every side. Pandemic, racism, fear, loss, anxiety, hopelessness. But these things must not have the last word. These things must not rule the day. It's a song that's inspired by the events recorded in Acts chapter 16. The lyrics go like this. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loosed, and they were free. The chorus goes, I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, give you praise. You are the life, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So friends, give thanks. Share a good word with someone who needs it. Choose gladness and sing. Sing for the glory of God's name, for God is good. God is our refuge. God has a future planned for you with hope. These small things that you choose to remember make a big difference. And when we allow more light and life into our lives, the world will notice. Bless you today, and thank you so much for the privilege of sharing my heart with you this morning.
The grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Good morning, church, and happy Valentine's Day. I hope you have a chance to get out and spend some special time with that special someone and share the love you so deeply deserve. Now, if you would join me in an attitude of prayer. Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. Encourage our friends, our family, our neighbors, that they may find the ability to love as you do, to care for each other, and to show your love to those that need it. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues, especially those suffering because of the coronavirus. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Establish peace in the world. Cause anger and hostility to give way to reconciliation. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. As we worship today on Valentine's Day, we remember that the ultimate love comes from you. You are our relationship, and when we follow you, the world is a better place for all. We thank you for your love and your strength. As we move toward Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season, we pray for your guidance and strength as we remember the sacrifice Jesus made for the world and for us. In this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all that you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Enjoy your Valentine's Day. Remember, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen. Now enjoy the rest of the service.
We're so incredibly grateful for Matt Michael, who built these three benches in an effort to qualify for becoming an Eagle Scout. He put a ton of time and effort into constructing these benches over the last year, and they were installed late in the fall. We're so grateful for his incredible hard work and dedication, and we get to be the benefactors of his hard work. I'd also like to thank all Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, Brownies, for all of your dedication and the ways in which you help make our church community better. We celebrate you this Scout Sunday and give thanks for all God is doing in your life. Amen.
Our God provides all that we ever need and is always faithful. This morning, let us praise God through our sharing of our gifts and the offerings that we have to God through the church. So whether you go online and give, or you mail your check into the church, or you bring your offering by later this week, I give thanks to God for those great gifts, that you're a part of the mission, that you're part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear God, we offer you these gifts that they might build up your kingdom here on earth. Make us living witnesses to the way of your reign, for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us in worship this week. We hope that this service was a blessing for you as you gathered with us online. We want to say a special thanks to our district superintendent, Reverend Luann Rourke, and we hope that her message was a blessing to you as we gathered for worship this day. Next Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday, is the beginning of Lent, which means it's Ash Wednesday. For those of you who are interested, we invite you to experience our worship service online. And in addition to that, we will have a couple of times throughout the course of the day that people can come through for drive-through communion and the imposition of ashes. So we would love for you to join us at the Brighton campus between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock in the morning, or you can join us at Whitmore Lake between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock in the morning. And if you'd like, you can join us in the evening at the Brighton campus between 5 and 6 p.m. We hope that you'll join us for one of those times, and Pastor Lindsay and myself will be sharing ashes with folks as you come through the line. In addition to that, we'd love to share with you that there are a bunch of small groups that are starting throughout the Lenten season. We would love to have you join us for one of those small groups. You can check out our website For information about those gatherings, we'll be looking at Adam Hamilton's book, The Way, and we encourage you to follow around, along in that book as we cover the chapters in the sermons leading up to Easter Sunday. As we depart from this place, I pray we would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.